This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. Good to be back with you. Not even 24 hours later.
Not even 24 hours later. Yesterday was an incredibly busy day, wasn't it? With all the reaction to the US Fed, the Bank of England, the Swiss National Bank, the geopolitical, and so on. Talking of the Fed, we had some comments earlier today from Christopher Waller, who's on the Fed Board of Governors, which has given an encouraging sign to markets that perhaps we're going to see an interest rate cut sooner rather than later. What did Mr. Waller have to say?
Yeah, so the circumstance with the Fed right now, Johnny, as we know from the comments made by Jerome Powell on Wednesday, he came across pretty hawkish. But we saw some of the internal voting mechanisms at the Fed in regards to the dot plot. And there is some doves amongst the crowd there. It is not a uniform decision of, you know, hey, we need to hold rates steady. There's mixed thoughts on this. And in fact, I think in the economics community, there's been a rise dramatically in the call for rate cuts. There is, clearly based on our conversation yesterday, I've added myself, I suppose, to that team a little bit more pushing for the rate cut side of things. However, you know, Waller, to just put a little bit of a take a grain of salt, Waller tends to be one of the more dovish members of the Fed. He has been for some time, but it doesn't change the fact that this is an important role that he holds within the team there at the Fed. And he not only has a role, but he also has influence. And so there is this, like I said, this rising kind of, hey, there's both the stag and the inflation concerns. We've talked about that a lot in recent episodes. But this concept of you have the committee or the members that are more like Powell, who are a bit more on the, hey, we need to really be sure that inflation's done before we cut rates. But then there's a rising subsect of colleagues, I suppose, that are more on the, we're seeing evidence of rising unemployment statistics. Specifically, Waller mentioned that he saw a rising unemployment in recent graduate students, which is an interesting indicator that he brought the attention. Of course, these Fed officials, they might just be showing off how much data they have in front of them. But I thought that was an interesting point and perhaps just indicative of the rising unemployment concerns. There's not a huge spike in unemployment yet, but we know how these things can behave. They can be all of a sudden at once, we get a surge in labor statistics, and there's a rising concern of why would you risk this when inflation is mostly, mostly looking pretty good. Sure, you have the uncertainties ahead, but isn't the Fed supposed to be data dependent, right? If we're being data dependent, we shouldn't be making big forecasts on what tariffs we're going to do, just like the Fed got in trouble for doing the mistake in 2021 of making the prediction that inflation was going to be transitory following the COVID pandemic, right? So I think a lot of the economics community is saying, hey, are we being data dependent or are we trying to make a forecast on how inflationary tariffs could potentially be?
Interesting that point about students, though, just shows you that the devil is sometimes in the detail and the minutiae. One thought on actually on employment. I was watching the press conference yesterday from the White House, and Caroline Leavitt was talking about the numbers that have been cut in terms of illegal migration. And one does wonder, actually, if the United States has shut down the border to that extent and there is no illegal migration at the moment, there will be an employment gap that's going to have to be filled. It's something to bear in mind for the future in terms of jobs, particularly in things like the farming community. I digress slightly, but I thought it was an interesting point.
I think so too. And I think that kind of opens up another side of this conversation, which is, in my view, another suggestion that a rate cut could be appropriate, which is this idea that, okay, you have, yes, the concerns about tariffs could cause inflation, but let's take the other side of that and say, what if these rising tariffs don't necessarily cause a tremendous inflation problem, but what if they do cause an economic slowdown and you held rates too long, which worsens the problem? And in your case, maybe the unemployment gap there or the missing labor supply there could even further extrapolate the problem. So it's almost like a preemptive cut when inflation is looking okay, seems to be a rising popular thought. And I'm very curious to see if in the upcoming meeting where what we heard from Waller today, the suggestion that is a potential option in July, I wonder if the tone changes between now and then, or if Jerome Powell is going to strongly stick to his guns on this.
Indeed. What about the dollar, though? Any reaction to those comments from Mr. Waller in terms of what the dollar did? And we're going to talk about oil in a moment or two as well, because we've seen a fall in the oil price today because things are slightly less hot in the Middle East than they seemed to be 24 hours ago. But what has the dollar done today?
Yeah, we did see an initial move lower this morning on these comments. However, the dollar is still pretty much flat, pretty much unchanged for the day, following a week where we did get some pretty hawkish comments from Powell. It seems like we have at least walked back from the lows of last week down below the 98 level. We're back at 98.8 on the dollar index, and against most currencies, the dollar index has bounced back slightly, but it's not been a huge recovery, even though we had those comments. I think that there's the potential that some of this economic data is weighing heavily on the dollar, despite the comments made by Powell.
And what about the oil price? Obviously, we had more dovish comments trying to bring in a diplomatic solution to the issues we have in this conflict between Israel and Iran. And we've seen a very, very dramatic last 7 days. It was this time last week we were reacting to that first strike from Israel on Iran. Everything has been dominated by that since, including, of course, the oil price, which is now lower than it was yesterday because of those slightly more positive comments, I suppose you could say, from Catherine Levitt.
Yeah, and then we also had this headline. I'm just going to read a few quick headlines here that we had this morning. Came in about 7:45 a.m. That's Eastern time. We heard from a senior Iranian official. Iran is ready to discuss limitations on its uranium enrichment, but then also followed up in saying zero enrichment will undoubtedly be rejected, especially now under Israel's strikes. Senior Iranian official also says here, we need to hear E3's initiative on the nuclear issue. But to your point, Johnny, any sort of willingness by either side to find some sort of de-escalation path, oil prices are going to be very sensitive to. The dramatic rise that we've had on oil, I do want to add one contextual point here. I've seen a lot of comments on social media, people asking, why hasn't this caused a bigger move lower in the stock markets of the world? But I do want to just remind listeners that where we are with WTI, around $74, $75 a barrel, this is not $120 a barrel. This is not $100 a barrel. This is a level that we've been mostly hovering around since December of 2022. We have mostly levitated back and forth around the $70 oil price. What I do want to mention, however, is that if you get something further escalating the circumstance in the Middle East, it is likely that it will get the attention of the stock market because it would disrupt the inflation story. But oil prices at 75 are not at critical levels. But once you start breaking, I would say, into the 85s and 90s, then you seriously have something that kind of threatens the peaceful disinflation trend we've been in.
Yeah, some people have been quite surprised that the oil price hasn't gone higher. As you've just suggested, if something was to escalate, for instance, if there was trouble in the Strait of Hormuz, which meant the supply line would be affected, then I think we could see prices move higher above 80 and beyond. It's been a very, very busy and interesting week. Nick, what about the next 7 days? What should we look out for over the next week or so?
Yeah, so I think beside the economic data, I think this weekend we'll, of course, want to continue to monitor what is happening in the Middle East, as that is arguably the most pressing thing in markets right now that could cause some disruption. To your point about oil prices surpassing higher levels, that could certainly be something to watch for. On Monday, we get some PMIs across Europe, as well as the UK and in the US to follow. We also get on Tuesday some CPI data out of Canada. And just to confirm, Governor Bailey speaking and Chair Powell are, although they're happening at the same time, they are in two different places. I just double checked to confirm. We also have Powell testifying again on Wednesday, which is always a good time to watch him testify in front of congressional members who will pound the table to demand him to rate cut, no matter what side of the aisle they're on, always. And then if we take a look at Thursday, we have final GDP numbers, unemployment claims, durable goods numbers. And then on Friday to end out, we do have that core PCE number and GDP numbers out of Canada. So an action-packed week coming your way next week.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Nick. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.